You do a radio show with little sleep. Oh boy, you get a headache. But hey, it was an interesting show. We covered an update on the Esperance Jetty. You'll get that later in the catch-up. We also spoke about the 19-year-old boy who's going to jail for selling drugs around Esperance. We had a sports report from Timmy Paris. He was back and much, much more. Which is the healthiest country in the world? I'll give you a hint. It's in Europe. You'll find all of that later in the catch-up. Have a good one. Happy Monday.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Feels good. Luke Graham there. Hopefully that song can chase away the clouds and smoke outside my window in Esperance. You're listening to the Sean for Breakfast show. And a very serious story from last week. A 19-year-old boy has been sentenced for over a year of jail time. He was caught selling over 200 pills of ecstasy. I caught up with Jacinta Burton from the Esperance Express earlier.
This particular case is very serious. Now, Esperance man Jordan Smart has been sentenced to 18 months in prison after being found guilty of transporting 250 tablets of MDMA from Perth to Esperance. Now, the court was told that the 19-year-old purchased 250 tablets of ecstasy in Perth for a total of $1,000 in March last year before borrowing his vehicle to travel back to Esperance overnight with the tablets. Now, on March 31, Esperance police stopped his vehicle on Sims Street in Nelson and discovered and seized 31 tablets, $1,800 in cash and his mobile phone. Smart later admitted to having sold about 220 of the tablets in Esperance for $2,200 and, get this, managed to get rid of them over a 48-hour period.
Is that scary? What does that say? What does that say about the demand for these kids and these drugs?
Yeah,
48 hours
certainly is concerning. But he says that he did so because he needed money to pay his bills and living expenses. Smart wept as he was sentenced to 24 months in prison, 6 months of which is to be served concurrently, and will be eligible for parole after 9 months. Now, Judge Pryor in this case did discuss how serious it was and the fact that many young people buying these tablets don't actually know what's in them.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure they're probably filled with chalk. They don't know what... There could be anything. I mean, that's why this pill testing thing is so important, because it could be rat poison. It could be something as benign as chalk, as I mentioned before. Are we happy with him going to jail for 18 months for this crime? Is that a lesson, or is there other ways we can teach him? I mean, he's only a 19-year-old kid, and money's so alluring at that age.
I know, and I do understand, and I did listen to the defence with regards to this case, but I think that this 18-month sentence is fair.
Okay.
And I also think that, I mean, I don't want to speculate, but 250 tablets travelling to Esperance overnight, it sounds like it might have been quite well organised to me.
Yeah, and I guess if you start, that could be an entry-level thing, and then it could get worse and worse, and maybe you try and nip it in the bud at the start. But whether maybe going to prison will exacerbate the problem, I don't know. You've been listening to Jacinta Burton. She's from the Esperance Express. You can grab that newspaper from all good news agencies and supermarkets. The news from last week, one of the big stories, Peter Torks, who's the bassist and keyboard player of the Monkees, he sadly passed away. We'll have one of their classic hits coming up for you shortly on Triple M.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast. Feels good,
they were touted as the next band to overtake the Beatles. That's the Monkees and Daydream Believer on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 747 Triple M. And of course, their bassist and keyboard player Peter Torks did pass away last week. Condolences to the family. But let's move on. If you head to the Triple M Esperance Facebook page, there was a post that I put up earlier this morning asking about what was the best wedding locations around Esperance. It comes off the back of me seeing a very cute, a very quaint, a very lovely wedding at Blue Haven yesterday. There was less than 10 people there, a little table, some cushions for chairs, some champagne, some amazing flowers, and of course, the best backdrop for a photograph you could possibly imagine. Wedding photos in the water with West Beach and the Esperance Bay at your back. Absolutely beautiful stuff. And it triggered in me a thought. Where is the best place around Esperance to have a wedding? What is the most picturesque place? I mean, we are supposed to be the most Instagrammable location in Australia. And I've got a few comments on the Triple M Esperance Facebook page. Lisa reckons Helms Arboretum is good. Did I say that right? Is that a difficult word? Arboretum. Am I saying that? Is that weird? Anyway, so that's supposed to be pretty good for weddings. And of course, right there on the foreshore with the whale tail at your back. It's a bit open, it's a bit public for mine, but still a beautiful landscape as well. Let me know on the Triple M Esperance Facebook page. Head on there. Where do you think is the best location for a wedding? I'd love to hear it this morning. I'd also love to hear some status quo. Oh, there it is. Rocking all over the world. Getting closer to 20 past 7 on the ground.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast.
Nick Kershaw, wouldn't it be good on Sean for Breakfast? Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. We're in this sort of quiet lull period where there isn't that much sport between cricket and football season. However, we have found a few games we want to bring to you this morning. I've got Tim Parris on the line to go through the sport headlines. Tim, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you, Sean. Good to be joining you again. Good morning.
AFLW, the Dockers have had a spectacular start to the season, but they've become unstuck. They lost to the Adelaide Crows in Darwin on Saturday.
Unfortunately, they did, Sean. Yes, they were only 3 points down at half time, but then they were held goalless in the second half, and the Crows really took control and won by 42 points.
42 points. They really, really kicked ahead. And I don't know much about football, but I do know you need goals to stay in the contest.
You certainly do. And the Dockers captain, Cara Donnellan, says, "We were in it for the majority of the game, actually, and we tried a few different things here and there. The Crows were just so much better with their inside clearances, and they just put our back line under too much pressure in the end."
42 points. I mean, that's very high scoring, especially for the women's. We'll move along, though. The Perth Glory over there in Sydney, they had a pretty good result, almost a win, but a last-ditch effort from the Western Sydney Wanderers scrapped a draw.
Yeah, still a reasonable effort, Sean. They went up in the first half, the Glory, due to Economides, and then Tarek Elrich was the equaliser for the Wanderers in the 95th minute in the end.
Unbelievable. So a tie, we're still 8 points clear. I don't think Perth Glory will be too worried.
Well, naturally you're going to be disappointed not to win, but their coach Tony Popovich says, nonetheless, it's still an away point away from home, you know, and we're still undefeated on the road. So really a glass half full approach there.
And to finish off, overnight results from India, the Australian cricket team, the 2020 side, have had a miraculous and nail-biting win.
They certainly have, and quite a low-scoring game compared to the games they've been playing recently in the Big Bash, Sean.
Yeah, I think 127, and they got there with just one ball to spare. It was thanks to some Paddy Cummins and Jai Richardson heroics, but there were some stars across the board for Australia as well.
Absolutely, especially on the batting side of things. Darcy Short had 37 from as many balls, and Glenn Maxwell, Maxi, 56 of 43 balls. So he really was the key man in the batting team.
He's an international talent, that man. And the last over, I am yet to see it. Obviously, it was overnight. I'm pretty sure Jai Richardson hit a four, Pat Cummins hit a four. They needed 14 off the last over, and they scurried through for a two to win the game. Very exciting stuff. And Nathan Coulter-Nile was impressive as well.
Absolutely. 3 for 26 for Nathan Coulter-Nile, and also Jason Berendorf, Adam Zampa and Paddy Cummins, a wicket each. So doing it with the bat and ball, Paddy Woj, John.
It's going to be pretty interesting. I think there's a 2020 World Cup approaching, as well as a 50-over World Cup as well. Australia, this is a good result. It puts us in pretty good stead against some really good opposition.
Absolutely. And they've got the second 2020 on Wednesday to look forward to now.
Looking forward to that. Sadly, I won't be staying up for it. It's too late. But we'll catch up with the results with Tim later in the week. Thanks very much, mate.
Always a pleasure, Sean. Thank you. Feels
good. Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
The Easy Beats on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. Friday on my mind is that track. Gosh. It's only Monday. And late last week, the Esperance Shire hid away a very big announcement to do with the Esperance Jetty. The Heritage Council have approved the draft design. Now it's going on to a more detailed design process. This is Alana McTiernan, the Agriculture Minister, speaking Friday afternoon.
Look, I think this is a very, very difficult project, and I really think that the Shire has been really trying to exercise some leadership here. I understand that there is now a plan that has been approved by the Heritage Council that might in fact be something that is financially doable, because we've really got to you know, we really do have to understand that there are great challenges both in the preservation and the maintenance of these structures. So I'm very confident that there has been a real effort put in here to try to accommodate all of the competing views.
That's the State Agricultural Minister speaking there. So the next step now, I mentioned it before, is a detailed design. The Shire also will need to source some funding. We probed Alana McTinn about whether that funding would come at a state level on Friday as well.
Well, we've got a very difficult budgetary position. And we certainly can't be pulling money out of nowhere. And we've seen what happens when there is a lack of fiscal discipline. We ended up with a $43 billion debt. And we're winding that back and we're moving into surplus. So the Premier has 100% support of all of our team on that. Look, I understand that the funding scope, there's an application in for the Building Better Regions Fund, the federal fund. I think it is about time that the federal government poured a bit more money into this area. So we would hope that the federal government will look at providing the grant that has been requested of them.
That's Alana McTiernan, the State Agricultural Minister there, speaking about the Esperance Jetty. It has received approval from the Heritage Council. It needs to go through a detailed design process now. It also needs some funding. It won't come at a state level, but it may come at a federal level. $6 million I think they need. I'll give you an update when more information comes to me. We've got Rod Stewart on the other side of this quick break. You're listening to Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
It's Simon and Garfunkel and Sean for breakfast. Estimates is 7:47 Triple M. It's 8:45, and if I was to ask you right now, what is the healthiest country in the world, where would you go? Would you head to perhaps the Mediterranean countries where there's high fat diets but smaller meals? Well, that's where you should go, because number one healthiest country in the world, according to the Bloomberg 2019 Healthiest Country Index, is, in fact, Spain. That's number one. Number two is Italy. Iceland is number three. So what is the Bloomberg Healthiest Country Index? Basically, they use a bunch of different factors to contribute to overall health. Including that is the number of obese people in that nation, penalties on risks such as tobacco and other drugs, and other variables such as life expectancy. Spain has come out on top. Where does Australia sit in all this? Well, we're in the top 10, which is good news. We're at 7th. In 2017, we were 5th, so we've got marginally more unhealthy. We're just behind Sweden and Switzerland. Oh, gosh darn you Europeans! Where does the US of A sit amongst all of this? It may be no surprise to you that they're 35th healthiest country in the world. They've got a lot of overweight humans. And what about our neighbours? Our neighbours to the east, our Kiwi neighbours? Well, they're 18th. So, you know what? You might beat us in rugby union, All Blacks, but we're, on average, more healthier than you guys. Hey, we've got some NXS coming up for you. We've also got some Fleetwood Mac to finish off the show. Stick around. Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast catch up on Triple M.
Oh, I need water and food to fix this headache. What a way to start the Monday. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. Talk to you then.
Listen to Sean for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.